And that's kind of phase three, is when like you realize some things and like you have some wisdom and it's like, okay, well, this happened, but like kind of what shifted for me because it happened. And then phase four is like, I'm going to create now. I'm going to create from all of this. And that's really like the beginning of soul driven entrepreneurship and like creator consciousness, which is the opposite of victim consciousness.
Hello and welcome to Unlock Your Vitality with Magalie on a Journey. I'm your host, Magalie Matthew. Here we cover all things vitality, that is living full of energy. From gut health to spirituality, nutrition to movement, we peel back the layers and unlock ways to heal and feel our best selves, one conscious habit at a time. Stick around, let's dive on in. I'm so excited you're here. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode. I'm so excited about this conversation. It was just so beautiful how, yeah, this online space and how you can find people that are really aligned to you. And we talk a lot about spirituality and entrepreneurship and their overlap. We talk about what it looks like to have an online coaching business. We talk about the dark night of the soul and victim consciousness. It was so cool to really connect with another beautiful woman entrepreneur who has so much of the same pivots in her journey and transitions as I do, but also as a lot of you listening do, and how much we can learn from our difficult times and how much we can really turn this around into doing the work that we're meant to be doing in the world. Some of you know that I was a part of a beautiful trauma somatic healing summit, and I will do a solo episode next week so that you can really learn all about it. I also want to remind you that if you are interested in the retreat to reconnect yourself that we're doing in Sebastopol, this was truly a beautiful reminder throughout the summit that I went to that in order to unlock our vitality, we need to have the chance to reconnect to ourselves and to our bodies. And so, yeah, it was just such a beautiful reminder of as to why I felt so called to create this kind of a container of a retreat. So I'm so excited. But let me introduce you to Alexandra Trev. So she is a coach and educator on quantum energetics, transforming trauma into service, and money mindset. Oh yes, that's another big thing that we talk about is money mindset and how to let go of a lot of old wounds and connect to your worth and what that translates into the money mindset. She specializes in helping early stage entrepreneurs make their first 5K online. She began her professional career as a sports medicine chiropractor, where she quickly realized she was destined to help others in a much deeper way. After hiring her first mentor, she began her journey in having a career change, which led her to become a digital nomad, coaching women all over the world. She coaches those who know they are born for more, have overcome hardship in their life, and are ready to make moves towards their next chapter. It was just, yeah, such a beautiful conversation. You're totally going to love it. So here it is, without further ado, the episode with Alexandra. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode. I'm so excited about today's conversation, and I know that it's going to resonate with so many of you. I have Alexandra on. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I am so excited because I think there's a lot of different moments in our individual journeys that are similar, and so I'm really excited to kind of dig a little deeper. Before we go into all the nitty gritty, can you please share with the audience who you are and just your story of arriving at what you do today?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Alexandra Trev, and I am a coach that helps women who know that they're meant for more, they're meant for a life outside the 9-to-5, they've overcome some level of hardship or trauma in their life, and they want to turn their story into an online coaching business. And so a lot of the work I do is rooted in that career change from a traditional path to a more entrepreneurial path. And it's really rooted in spirituality. So a lot of that hardship and trauma that I mentioned has, you know, when the spiritual community talks about the dark night of the soul. So a lot of women that I coach, all of the women that I coach have rested on some sort of spirituality after, you know, their era of their dark night of the soul. And so I help them make that pivot, build the confidence to execute on that and show up powerfully and authentically online. And it just mirrors and echoes kind of what I went through in my story. And I was a chiropractor, my first career, you could say. So I went to graduate school right after undergrad. And right after grad school, I opened up my own chiropractic office in LA. And so I did that for, 4 years, I think, and before shifting and transitioning. And while I was in chiro school, also while I was in undergraduate, I kind of was going through a lot of my own dark night of the soul, you could say. So like a lot of mental health stuff, a lot of substance abuse stuff, a lot of, you know, anxiety, depression, unhealthy coping mechanisms, toxic behavior, you name it, I was doing it. And then I found spirituality in kind of a more new age way at first. And it's evolved since then. But that was my first kind of wake up call from the victim mentality and that victim consciousness where I was. And I just went full force. I couldn't get enough of it. And so I was doing a lot of healing and working with that while I was in chiropractic school, while I was opening up my clinic. And I didn't know how to reconcile like this newfound knowledge and understanding of life and this worldview with being a chiropractor. And it got to the point during COVID where I was just like, I don't want to be a chiropractor. Like, I'm bored. I'm not living up to my potential. I'm not going all in on what lights my soul on fire and what lights me up. So like, what do I do with this? And then that was when I hired my first coach and I started testing the waters of entrepreneurship in the online space. Like, I was an entrepreneur, but it was in healthcare. It was very different. And then slowly made that transition to now coaching other women to do the same sort of thing.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love how you had your own dark night of the soul and then got the guidance you needed to take the step. And then now you're helping other women do the same. It's so beautiful. I wonder, there's so many like key terms that you talked about. For anybody that maybe isn't as familiar with what that means, the dark night of the soul, can you go a little bit more into that? And then I love that you mentioned victim consciousness and just like getting out of that victim mindset, because I think so many of us are stuck in that. And also just from societal, like what that means and why a lot of women feel stuck in that space. But just briefly on if anybody's not sure what the dark night of the soul is or hasn't gone through it, even though I'm sure as you explain it, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah. So dark night of the soul is, you're just not doing well. You're just on the struggle bus, you know? And that can take a variety of forms. Like I kind of talked about, for me, it was a lot of like substance abuse, toxic behavior, like really profound mental health crisis, like on medication, couldn't get out of bed, lost a bunch of weight, but like just deep despair, hopelessness, not showing up as who you really are and it feeling just terrible. And I mean, like suicidal ideation, just like not wanting to continue, just like dark, dark, dark. And that for some people could just look like every day putting their mask on of how they present to the world and coming home and just being like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know, like this can't be what life means, but just kind of like that inner rock bottom. And it doesn't have to manifest externally like, oh, I'm on the streets and I'm homeless and blah, blah, blah. It could, but you just know deep inside, it's like, this is wrong. This is not how I'm supposed to be living my life. And like something has to change or else like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. How it manifested for me was I started after, I mean, university, I worked for a bit and then I came to San Francisco for grad school and met two friends who then became my co-founders. And we started a tech startup. That's how I came into the entrepreneurial space. And whilst I was an entrepreneur, and I love that you also were in a different space, because we don't talk enough about that transition. Like I haven't met a lot of other entrepreneurs who've transitioned from one type of entrepreneurship into the other. It's also like, that's where I experienced my dark night of the soul, because I was like, I'm already like living the life that I'm supposed to want to live. Like I'm already my own boss. And I was like miserable, especially for the last years, because I knew deep down it wasn't what I wanted to do, but we had grown this beautiful team. There were so many people that counted on us that I really cared about. The mission was super beautiful and positive. And so it was like all these external things were keeping me through. And also the identity of like what it means to be a female tech startup founder in the Bay Area and all these things to, letting it all go and being like, no, actually, I want to help people feel their best and unlock their vitality. And that can look a lot of different ways. But yeah, I just love seeing that transition because the dark night of the soul can be also happening when you're like thinking, wait, I'm living what I'm supposed to be living.
Yeah. You can look like you're thriving on the outside. Totally. And I like that you brought up how we don't talk about that shift from like entrepreneur A to entrepreneur B, you know, like version A to version B, because like a lot of people, even in the space in the coaching industry, were like, you know, I was high up in corporate or tech and I had the designer bag and I had the thing and this and that. And it's just like, it's the inner knowing, like this is not right. And a lot of that is, I mean, I don't really love this term, but you know, that ego death where they're like, okay, well, my whole sense of worth or value is because I have this prestigious title or because I have can afford these brand names or because I live in this certain city or because, and it's like, well, it's not doing the job that I thought it would do on the inside. So like, I have to have the courage to let that go, which is really hard.
Yeah. And I think that moment is almost like, you're finally able to listen to your intuition deeply. And so it's like, wake up, like this is the moment to make a shift because we're not happy. Like this is not it. So I love that. Let's get into victim consciousness a little bit. What was your personal experience with that? And how did you kind of understand you were maybe living in that space for a moment? And how did you get out of it?
Well, one, I think that it's like a never ending cycle of like recognizing where you're allowing yourself to be limited and then like falling, like succumbing to that story. And so I think like victim consciousness is like a wheel of like always transmuting. Like maybe first it's like in relationships and then it's in money and then it's in like body image or like whatever your thing is, you know? But for me, a lot of it, I think it was when I first learned about the law of attraction and how like taking ownership of my, like Abraham Hicks was like my gateway drug. I like never listen to Abraham Hicks now, but like I used to do it all the time. And just like how you're feeling and the thoughts that you're thinking are like creating your reality. And like, you have to take responsibility for your emotions and your boundaries and your hard conversations and what you allow and what you don't allow and the thoughts that you think around them, because everything that you're experiencing externally is a reflection of what's happening internally. And I was just like, what? Like, it's all my fault? Like, not so dramatic, but a little bit. And so that was my initial understanding of like victim consciousness. And I talk about this with my clients through like soul-driven entrepreneurship through four phases. Like the first phase is like you go through something, you go through stuff, right? Whether that's like, I don't know, maybe abuse or trauma or abandonment or like whatever just life kind of throws at you, and everyone has their thing. And then phase two is you kind of lose it a little bit because you don't know how to navigate that. A lot of us are not taught the healthy coping mechanisms to deal with things that were actually really hard, especially if it was as a child. And so a lot of the times when we're stuck in phase one or two and we don't go to the next phase, some people just live in that victim consciousness because sometimes you literally were a victim, you know, like of circumstance. But at some point, it's like you have to take responsibility for how you navigate it. Like if you were hit as a pedestrian by a car, it's like you were a victim of that. But now are you not going to go get treatment because you are over-identifying as a victim? Like, no, you're going to go get physical therapy and surgery or whatever, because you have to take responsibility for the mess. And then that's kind of phase three, is when like you realize some things and like you have some wisdom and it's like, okay, well, this happened, but like kind of what shifted for me because it happened. And then phase four is like, I'm going to create now. I'm going to create from all of this. And that's really like the beginning of soul-driven entrepreneurship and like creator consciousness, which is the opposite of victim consciousness. So everything is happening for me, or I get to create when life gives you lemons, make lemonade sort of thing.
Yeah. I love that term, soul-driven entrepreneurship. That's beautiful. And I know that that's something that we've both experienced, is that often the spiritual awakening begins within your entrepreneurial journey, because there is so much of that, right? So much of the questioning, so much of the like, who am I? Why am I doing this to myself? Because it's not an easy path. As much as it is a beautiful, amazing, chosen path, it can be super lonely if you're a solopreneur. There's just so many questions. Can you talk a bit more about how you see it, whether it was within your own journey or within your client's journey, that idea of like a spiritual awakening happening as we're building our businesses?
Yeah, I think Alex Hormozi talks, he's not spiritual at all, but he says something that I think resonates for the spiritual community, which is like, why entrepreneurship is hard, like in quotes, I mean, it is super hard, but why it's hard is because you have to put in so much work without any guarantee of any result. And like, that is like the crux of the hardship of it. And so knowing that and acknowledging that, it's like, so who do I have to become in order to find that acceptable? Like in order to be okay with like the potential of failing and like facing your self-worth, and outside of like, okay, I don't have a stable income. I don't have the traditional career path that everyone around me has. Maybe I have student loans that from grad school, I'm not in that path anymore. Like you have to literally remember who you are as like a soul being who's inherently worthy, despite having any evidence. Cause at the beginning of entrepreneurship, you have literally no evidence of anything working, of you being worth money, of you having a zone of genius, of you being an expert in your field. Like you have zero. And so you have to continuously face that and face your self-worth and face the negative thoughts and face the childhood wounding and face all of the dark night of the soul stuff that's going to rear its head again and overcome it and persevere in order to be like, I am just because I am. And like, I create things and make money and have an impact and leave a legacy because I remember the inherentness of who I am, which is like, you know, pure consciousness or whatever you believe in terms of having a soul and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's so beautiful. I think it's also, I mean, you talked about money, and I think the worth of understanding how, like, let's definitely dive into that in a moment, because it's a big, big one for sure. I also think that one of the things I focus on with the women that I coach is really helping them connect to their why. And I think that's where, for me, it was, yes, all the things that you said are so true in terms of it being so hard because you have no evidence. And if you have a really deep, strong why as to why you're doing the work you're doing, it's a continuous like reconnection to your values, to your intention, to what you want to bring out into the world. And not that everybody has to have extremely heart-centered businesses. And I think that if you do, it's like another level of connection to yourself, right? And like the ultimate self-development, self-learning process of like, my values and my intentions are so freaking strong that that is also what is carrying me through the hard times and allowing me to see all those negative patterns that I've learned because of the life circumstances that I've lived. And I think for those listening, having those different like, okay, what are the things that I can connect to that are going to get me through the hard times? And what are the things that I'm also willing to learn about myself? Because at the end of the day, if we're not growing, then what are we doing?
Totally. And I think a lot of like fulfillment and like satisfaction, life satisfaction, comes from the committed relationship to like growth and evolution. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's why a lot of people are unhappy in their careers, or that's why a lot of people are, you know, they enter that dark night in the beginning, because it's on a subconscious level, but there's some sort of like stagnancy. But like our soul or higher self or, you know, God, universe is asking us, nudging us to expand and to grow. And that, for some people, that looks like creating something that is like a soul-driven business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Let's get into money and worth. Mm-hmm. And how do you help, whether it's clients or just people around you who are thinking about, or anybody listening, thinking about charging and creating, you mentioned that you really help specifically on online offerings. Like, how do you go about looking at that and feeling like, oh my gosh, I have no evidence that this is going to work, that I'm credible, that people are going to want to do my work? Like, how can I price this in a way that also is sustainable for me? And that, how do I know I'm worth that price?
Yeah. So a couple of things. I'm trying to think about where to start. So for me, what always has felt correct is like, I know if, like, when I hired my first coach, for example, it was like $3,200 and like, I did not have that money and I put it on a credit card and I paid it like in 3 months, whatever. And from that embodied experience of like, I couldn't afford it, but I knew I was going to make it work. And I knew like, I was just going to figure it out. For me individually, I have that faith in my clients, right? Like, I know that I still have some sort of like traditional career, but all my life expenses and all my, you know, just life is lifing. And I was able to afford that in quotes at the time. Make it work is a better, you know, term. And so for me, that was kind of like a starting point, how I initially started pricing things. Cause I'm like, I can make this work. And when I couldn't make it work on paper, but I could figure it out. So I believe in you to be able to figure it out. And so I'll have clients kind of call on some sort of scenario where kind of like a stretch or an edge of like a financial investment where it's like, I really want it. I can't really afford it on paper, but I can figure it out. I just know I have faith in myself to figure it out. And for some people that's like, just hiring like $100 an hour session, that's their edge, right? And for other people, it's like, oh, well, I did like a $5,000 program. So it's so subjective. And I think first you kind of have to go to your individual experience of where you've seen evidence of you being able to stretch yourself to afford something that you couldn't really, you know, when the numbers added up at the time, but you made it work. And then another side of it is like that intuitive knowing and asking your intuition of like what feels correct and like what feels correct in order to, you know, me receive value, but also honor where this person is at in their relationship to money. And am I here to help other people expand how they spend their money and their money consciousness? And so when it comes to pricing things, I think you have to start with what you know to be true in your experience and then kind of edge up from there. But then when it comes to feeling worthy to receive that, that's so much of that is just like inner child stuff. And then money just happens, the thing we're attaching to it, you know?
Yeah. In the world of like online businesses today and social media, there's so much noise on like, let go of whatever you're doing and you need to minimum earn like 10 grand monthly in order to like there's just so much noise on like, if you're not making this much, like you're not charging enough and all this stuff. How does somebody go about like, yes, I want that life and 10 grand a month sounds great. And like, it's not going to happen overnight because nothing does. Yeah. How do you go about maybe helping somebody through who's interested? And also I'm curious about, I'm sure there's people listening that are like, I want to build an online business. Like, how do I go about that?
Yes. So I think two things. One, you need to have someone that you look up to that you borrow evidence from. And so a lot of people that I look up to who kind of like the rags to riches story, not that I'm coming from rags. I mean, there's like a privilege in my experience, but you know, as an individual, like I had X amount of debt, right? I had like debt was like a huge thing for me for a long time. And I couldn't borrow the story of someone who was like a famous coach, for example, who's like, oh, I worked at a smoothie shop and then I left and my business blew up. I needed to look up to someone who was like, I had $200,000 of debt and now I'm a multimillionaire, you know, because that was more in line with like my student loan situation and whatnot. So one, it's like find someone whose story you can relate to because their kind of rags to riches is kind of like evidence that you can borrow. And so you lean on that and you have to be intentional with that because not everyone's story is going to inspire you. A lot of it can make you feel like more small and less worthy and less capable, you know? So one is that. And two, it's doing money work. Like this is my process is a 4-phase process of how I work with my clients. It's understanding the theory of success, like the philosophy of success, getting into your body, understanding your purpose and then healing your money trauma. 100% of people have money trauma, whether it's like hoarding money or overspending money or being scared of money or not trusting money or whatever. And it's just looking at that and looking at, okay, what are my money patterns? Like, what's the most I've ever made? What's the average that I make in a month? And how can I incrementally increase that, right? If the most you're making in a month or the average is like $4,000 a month, like, how can we play around with the identity and the vibe of making $5,000 a month? Like, let's not jump to $20,000 a month because your nervous system is going to be like, I don't know what that is, like 911, help me. So I like the concept of kind of like playing with your edge. So like it's uncomfortable, but you're not free falling, but you have a little bit of butterflies.
Yeah, I love that. I also have loved the work of Lynn Twist, The Soul of Money. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, I need to look into it. Yeah.
It's really beautiful because it doesn't just talk about your like earning and also really how you're spending money and the energetics behind what you're doing with your money. And like, you're still in a corporate situation. Are you like living paycheck to paycheck because any kind of income you're spending on also things that might not align with your soul and values, and how like the more you align the way that you also spend, the more abundance comes to you and the more you receive.
Totally. I've heard that theory before, but I didn't know it came from that book specifically, but I love that. Yeah. It's like, well, this is actually enhancing who I am. Mm-hmm. Like this is amplifying my inner truth. And when I embody that as I charge something, like that's going to come back to me because I am expanding and using money as a resource to do so. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I love it. So what about, I know that I asked a very large amount of questions, but what about that second part of somebody who might be interested in building an online business, who's never necessarily done it before, or who's like potentially dabbled in it? What are some of the ways that you would recommend they get started, or things to look at, important things to consider?
I think the very first thing to ask yourself is like, what is the hill I would die on? Like, what's the thing that I won't shut up about? If I could just say one thing to the whole world and every language and every religion and every single person ever could just understand and receive it and feel it in their soul, what is that? Because that is related to your purpose and what you're here to do and who you're here to help and how you're here to create wealth and abundance from that space. And then it's going into understanding your story and your own hardship, your own trauma, your own dark night of the soul, and how you uniquely wrestled and navigated that to come out on the other side to stand so boldly in the thing that you believe in. And so looking at your fire and looking at your pain and how they're related, and then asking your intuition what to do next. And I have like a million free resources on this. And so I'm happy to share. This is like the crux of what I do. And so I'm like happy to share that with anyone who's interested.
Yeah. And we'll add all the info in the show notes for people to get those. I love that. I think when you're, as you said, right, like if you're connected to that fire and to that pain in order to be able to then build it out and helping others, I'm curious because you mentioned that you focus specifically on online businesses. Was there something that drew you personally? Is it because of your personal experience? Like how come you're having that focus?
Well, twofold. One is COVID. And COVID, I had a brick and mortar, like medical. I mean, I was, what was the word? Essential. I was essential because it was like a medical facility. So I was allowed to stay open, but business was so unstable. I was just like, no, like this is not the way of the future. Like just this inner knowingness. It was just a no. And then on the other side of it, it's like, I've always known I was meant to travel the world, live abroad. Like I just got back from living abroad for 6 months. I go abroad like very frequently. I'm going next month again. And so I just know my lifestyle. And like, I always work backwards with myself, my clients. I call it like end game theory, like what's end game, and like work backwards from there. And it's like just vagabonding around the world. And like, I just need my laptop and Wi-Fi and like a SIM card, you know? And that's just always like, my dream isn't like the white picket fence and the backyard, like it's airplanes. And so that's what's true for me. And so the online, and a lot of people I work with, a lot of the women have that. They have that travel bug, that wanderlust. And entrepreneurship is such an amazing way to integrate that into your life. And when it is online, it becomes a realistic possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Tell us more about some of the places you've been and how it's been to continue to, because as much as I know it's beautiful to travel around, it's also like it needs a certain type of dedication to your work to be able to like organize yourself and all of that. Can you share a little bit more how you've experienced it?
Yeah, so I think and this might have to do with my human design type, if any of your listeners or you are familiar with that. But
yes, I'm
a 6-2 manifester. And so the 6-2 is the very, you know, like the role model and then the hermit. And so that's kind of how, and manifestors have inconsistent energy. So it's like when I work, I'm like a superhuman. But then if I don't have energy, I'm a Victorian old, like in the bed, like buckets, grandpa, like can't move. And so that's kind of how my abroad and my business cycles have run. Is like, I'll either just be in one place, like in the States, and I'll just be like hunkered down, like in the zone, just like nightgown, working in a robe, just like a little in my cave, you know, and then go abroad and like just be full adventure Barbie, like out there wholly and completely. But when I'm home and when I'm in that more kind of stable, grounded, like hermit mode, I'm in a scaling phase. So I'm in that right now. And so I like just hired 2 new team members. Like I'm rebranding, I'm relooking at marketing strategies, and like I'm in a scaling phase where I'm kind of going to the next level instead of just like sustaining and like creating content and working with clients. Like right now I'm like, okay, let's focus and go up from here, anchor that in, and then sustain for a bit. And then when I'm ready for growth again, you know, I'll come back and to the States probably and do that. I mean, who knows? But for me, it's been really accepting the fact that when I am traveling and when I am on the road, it's not a period for growth for me, at least where I'm at in my journey. For other people, their energy type maybe is different. But when I'm traveling, I'm working, but I'm also, you know, doing super on a Tuesday. I'm like, I'm at the beach. Like it's not traditional work hours. And I'm like, I'm 13 hours ahead of my clients. Like you got to really just be able to live on the fly. And so for me to do that and also scale and grow is not like a sustainable model for me. So I kind of oscillate between like maintaining where I am and then scaling and maintaining and scaling.
I would love to dive a little deeper into that, in that sustaining and scaling cycle. I love that you think about it that way. And I'm sure you help so much your clients think about it that way. For somebody listening who's like, how do I know when I'm supposed to be in that sustaining versus scaling? And like, what's the benefit of pausing to take the moment to scale? What does that even look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about, I use a lot of examples with the body because I was a chiropractor, but if you think about like exercise, like going to the gym, like you, a lot of like people, they want to build a booty or something, you know, and you can't do glutes every day if you want to build a butt, because you have to have a rest day, because that's actually when the muscles shift, right? Like you need that oscillating energy of like expansion and rest and expansion and rest, just like sleeping. Like we can't be awake 24 hours a day. We're asleep 8 of them. And that's just like the cyclical way of life and of nature. And if you just apply those natural tendencies, like you look at nature, you look at the body to your business, it's just going to be in that ebb and flow kind of vibe. And so a lot of this is like intuitive based. So if you look at your human design chart, I'm like in a human design era right now. So I keep doing it, but you look at your authority. And so I have like a splenic authority. So I just like know, like out of nowhere. Some people have like emotional authority or sacral, and it depends, but I would look at your chart. It's like free on Google, and look at your authority, because a lot of your intuition is going to tell you like, all right, we got to go to the next level. Or like, all right, we got to like kind of chill out. And that's just, it's not something some external cue can just give you like signed, sealed, and delivered. It's an inner knowing. And so it's developing that relationship with your intuition. And of course, working with like a mentor or a program or something is going to help you build those skills and relate your intuition to your business, because your business is something you're in a relationship with. Like imagine you're dating a new guy and you're like, oh, like, I want your intuition is like, don't text him every hour. Like it's a bit much, you know, like you got to do something and then you got to lean back. And it's the same for your business, because you're in relationship with your business and you just know it, but that it takes time. You know, when you're brand new, it's like, you got to fall down a few times. You got to be Bambi and all over and that, until you find your stride.
Yeah. My authority is also splenic authority. And so yeah. I totally relate to that, of like that inner knowing. And I'm a projector. And so in my previous business, it was just very much the startup tech life. So it was like, go, go, go to
generator land.
Yes. It took me a long, when I started getting into human design and being like, oh my gosh, I'm meant to like have a lot of downtime. Like, this is really what I need as a projector. I can get an insane amount done in a very short amount of yeah. time, and I need a lot of rest. And reading that was so freaking just affirming, because I was brought up in a family of like, and a lot of us in this society, but like, you know, your worth is tied to how much you do and your productivity and all of these things. And it was like, now there are days where, you know, I'll work like a third of the hours that I used to work on mm-hmm. a regular basis. And I'm like, no, but like, I've gotten a lot of these things done. And I love that, again, going back to the sustaining and the scaling, because it can be really helpful to even apply it in that. Like, as a projector, sustaining is not, I can't sustain at the same level for that long. I need that pause to be like, wait, so I can't have this many one-on-one clients anymore. Like, what's the next step? Which is what launched me into a group coaching program. So yeah, it's, human design is awesome. If you guys haven't heard of it, go get your test. I'll add the link in the show notes for sure.
And it's funny that you're a projector, because projectors and manifestors are the two that don't have consistent access to energy like the other types. If anyone is listening and you find that your type is a projector or a manifestor, don't be alarmed that you don't have the same consistent energy workhorse as the world, because the world was made for generators. That 9 to 5, like every day, like consistent, which is most of the population. But anyway, that was a side note.
No, but that's super helpful, because I think that a lot of us are going at a pace that's not natural to us. Going back to nature and like understanding just the mind-body unity, right? It's like I live in the Bay Area, and we were in another place than we're now, but which was close to trails. And literally every day in my dark night of the soul, I would go hiking on these trails and be like, what am I supposed to do? And it was so clear, but my intuition, I wasn't listening to it for so long that I started developing a bunch of like gut health issues and SIBO nice. And then autoimmune. And it was like my body was just screaming at me, being like, please listen to us. And so I think continuing to just go back to your intuition in a world that pushes you to just go, 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 when it might not be what you're naturally meant to be doing.
100%. And that's also a good example of how, like with the dark night of the soul, if like the physical health is going down, 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 and like unexplained, that is a sign, like something's up. We need to take a look. Let's go inward.
Yeah. I love that you have a body background being an entrepreneur, like having been a chiropractor, because so much of also continuing on our journey is like tuning into that. How do you help clients understand maybe like stuckness within the body, or how to connect in order to also just help their entrepreneurial journey and their businesses?
Yeah. So lately I have been kind of playing with this idea of like losing weight and getting in shape. And if you think about in terms of how it relates to kind of getting into your body, clearing old like emotions that are stuck in there, and then identifying with who you really are, and someone who gets to make a lot of money, someone who gets to live a life on their terms, someone who gets to be in their zone of genius, right? And so if you think about, you know, if you say I have to lose 50 pounds and I want to be toned and leaned, so that's going to require two things. It's going to require like fat loss and muscle gain. And so if you look at that, if you translate that analogy to the spiritual and the emotional, it's like, okay, so what's my fat loss? My fat loss is all of the things inside of me that are still telling me I'm not good enough, that are still telling me there's not enough, that scarcity is like running my mind, that I'm always prepping for worst case scenario. I'm assuming things aren't going to work out and I have to do everything in order to make them work out. That's the fat that we need to clear, that we need to get rid of. And that's like phase two of my process, which is body-based practices. So like breath work and shaking and like feminine embodiment and things like that. And then once you clear the fat, we need to build the muscle. And so that's like, well, who do I want to be? What does that look like? What does that feel like? How is that person thinking and being and doing and dressing and choosing and saying yes and saying no. But like, and I fell into this trap, like a lot of like manifesting and like traditional stuff around, you know, becoming your 2.0 self or whatever doesn't account for the fat burning part of the process. It's just building the muscle. And so it's just like, well, who is she and what does she dress and what is she like? It's like, well, you can't be her if your body still has, is full of doubt and insecurity, and you have to feel those emotions. And that's not something that you journal out or intellectualize. Like that's something you scream about and you cry about and you hyperventilate and breathe. It's like in your body, and changing your state to the point of where you can go deep inside and process these old emotions with like fear, shame, guilt, anger, whatever, sorrow. And then it's like, oh, well, now I have room to put on a new identity because I'm not filled to the top of all of this stuff that is non-supportive for my next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the idea of releasing before you fill yourself back up, right? Like letting go of the old in order to receive the new. And I just recently went to a somatic trauma healing immersive, which was very, very cool, very beautiful. And there was so much release. And it was beautiful. They did a ton of demos and things too. And it was so cool to actually see. There was just one example where they asked a woman to come and sing, not like an actual singer, just somebody who enjoys to sing. And so this woman sang like a verse of a song in front of 600 people. Wow. And then she got to be demoed through doing a breathwork practice. And then she was asked to do it again. And it was like night and day how insane the difference was with her singing voice once she was like fully embodied.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And that's like an ongoing, that I really love that story. Like people, like we could even use that, right? Like film some content and then go do a breath work and then film some content. But I will disclaimer, like for me, when I do breath work, I have like an emotional hangover for like 2 days. So it's like, I'm still kind of in it. But then after that, then I'll film the content.
Yeah, for sure. And that's also part of connecting to our bodies, right? What works for somebody might not work for somebody else. Yeah, I think that's a great, super important aspect of it. Thank you. This has been such a fun conversation. We end every podcast with some questions that I ask everybody. It's not like rapid fire or anything, but the first one is, how do you unlock your vitality these days?
Honestly, I think this is going to be redundant, but I think it's getting in my body. I'm just like, I've never had such an emphasis on like dancing and being weird and ecstatic movements and sensual movements. And it's just like, that's when I feel the most alive, is like when I sit in my body instead of my mind, to the point where like, I just feel my vitality.
So beautiful. I love that. The next one is, what is on your nightstand?
Okay, so I'm like a super high maintenance sleeper. So I have an eye mask, I have earplugs, I have melatonin, CBD, and mouth tape, because I sleep, if you've seen that trend, I know now it's like becoming popular on TikTok, but I tape my mouth shut. And then the remote for my TV.
I love it. I also use mouth tape.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, it's amazing. Perfect. The next one is, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Keep going. Just keep going. It's all gonna unfold how it should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And the last one is there something that you're focusing on saying no to these days?
Yes, I'm really focusing on saying no to gossip and just talking negatively about people as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's so powerful energetically. Thank you so much. This has been such an awesome conversation. For anybody who wants to connect with you, we'll add everything in the show notes, but where can they find you if they're just listening to keep in touch?
The fastest and quickest way is probably Instagram. And my handle is Alexandra Trev, and I'm sure we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much. This was such a beautiful and powerful conversation, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye, guys. See you next week. Thank Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. If you are enjoying the show, please feel free to rate and review, share it with a friend. This is truly how we are able to grow. So whether you are listening on Kajabi directly, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on Google, any way that you can just share it with a friend, and even through social media, letting us know what you loved about it, what you got out of the episode. And if you haven't yet, you can subscribe or rate and review depending on all the places that you get your podcasts. But I just wanted to say a big, big thank you. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to, or if you've been here for a while, or if you've been here since the very beginning, Unlocking My Vitality has been a beautiful journey into learning, actually. And this podcast has really helped me learn through different people, through your feedback, through, just seeing and hearing beautiful women and the work that they're doing and sharing it with the world. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.